When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
On this episode of Newt's World, I'm joined by members of my Inner Circle Club for a fascinating conversation about a wide range of issues and topics on their minds. We hold these regular video conference calls so that we can have an honest discussion about what is happening in America today. I find it extraordinarily helpful to me personally in helping think through the issues that are facing us. So I hope you'll find this episode of Newt's World informative. And if you'd like to become a member of my Inner Circle Club, please go to newtsinnercircle.com and sign up for a 1 or 2 year membership today. One, I think the Democrats have a huge problem. I was just up on the Hill, met with all of the Republican senators, chiefs of staff, and then went over and met with Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff. And I think the Democrats can get through a clean continuing resolution to keep the government running until December. They can probably, not certainly, but probably, get through the debt ceiling because the consequence of not passing it are so enormous in the financial world. I don't think they're going to get either the infrastructure bill, which the progressives will kill, in retaliation for not getting the big government socialist bill, the Bernie Sanders bill. It's clear, if you've been watching, when Senator Manchin yesterday said any bill would have to include the Hyde Amendment, which is the amendment that says no taxpayer money can go to pay for abortions. Well, on the left, that's just a declaration of war. And so I think we're in a situation now where you're going to see really hardcore effort by the progressives. And the reason is Pelosi can organize the unions and she can organize the activist left. So if you're a moderate, she can bring enormous pressure to bear on you. But if you're a left-wing Democrat, the activists are you. And therefore, you're not threatenable. And I think you could easily see this blow up. Now, Pelosi has been a remarkably effective speaker, maybe the strongest speaker in modern times. She runs a dictatorship. Up till now, things have worked pretty well. She's twisted a lot of arms, broken a few arms. I think she's about to start kneecapping people because they're desperate. But I think it's fairly likely that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, their entire domestic agenda will collapse. And I think it's further hurt by the testimony of the Secretary of Defense, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the commander in Afghanistan, all three of whom said that Biden basically lied and that he did know from his military advisors that they should keep troops in Afghanistan, and that he just overrode them. And for him to say that they didn't tell him was just not true. Well, that's pretty devastating. In Iowa, for example, Biden's approval is now 31%. Well, if you're the congresswoman from Iowa, you don't particularly want him to come campaign for you. So when he asks you to help him, you're thinking, wait a second, you know, you're going to get me beat next year. And I think that's happening all across the country. It's a fascinating thing to watch. It is a significant breakdown. We are making real progress, I think, on communicating that big government socialism is a very effective term to describe what these people are doing, and that free market capitalism is, in fact, the broad, general, practical approach that we should be developing on the positive side. And for the first time, there's serious talk about potentially doing another contract with America. The only other thing I'll say is that the Virginia governor's race has become very interesting because Terry McAuliffe, the former Democratic governor, in a debate Tuesday night, said that he thought parents should not have any role in schools. And he clearly can't possibly have meant the way he said it, but he gets so much support from the unions, the teachers union, the service employee union, George Soros, Mike Bloomberg. Between them, you're talking about millions of dollars, and he sort of let the mask slip. And I think that Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, handled it very effectively. They have an ad up now of parents who are very upset by what some of the schools are doing. And then they have McAuliffe there saying parents shouldn't have anything to do with it. That could become the decisive ad that wins the election. So Virginia is getting to be very, very interesting as part of this whole process. That's a very sweeping, short introduction because I want to take time to hear your questions.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So our first question is from Mark in Ohio. And Mark says, could you give us a 30-second explanation on what's going on with infrastructure and reconciliation?
The hard left, what I call the big government socialists, are desperate to get Bernie Sanders. The bill's really $5 or $6 trillion. It's the way they wrote it, so that it looks like $3.5 trillion is a lie. They have a series of big spending programs that they only put in for 3 years, but everybody knows they plan to do it for at least 10. So if you score it honestly, it's somewhere between $5 and $6 trillion. Sanders, of course, is a genuine socialist, a man who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. I mean, he lived in Vermont. You might honeymoon in the Caribbean, but no, no, he went from the woods of Vermont to the woods of Russia because he's of the true faith. So it's fair to say that Bernie Sanders wrote a big government socialist bill. The moderate Democrats, the people who are from districts where they're going to get beat, they don't want to vote for this. And the left-wing Democrats have figured out that the only leverage they have is to threaten to defeat the infrastructure bill, which, by the way, includes the $1.2 trillion, $700 billion is the Highway Trust Fund. So, you know, there's a real danger here that these guys are going to mess up totally, and the Highway Trust Fund will start running out of money, and that will be a mess at the state and local level. So you have the left-wing Democrats, which is the vast majority now, really want the $6 or $7 trillion big government socialist Bernie Sanders bill. The people who are scared of being defeated really want the infrastructure bill, but don't want the other bill. And so I think you have almost a Mexican standoff now where both bills could end up getting killed. And that's kind of where we are.
All right. Our next question is from Roy Burgess. Roy asks, at a time when the considerable majority of the world is anti-Semitic and the U.S. is a supporter of the country of Israel, why isn't the current administration taking a stronger pro-Israeli stance?
Well, I think the Biden-Harris administration is deeply affected by its left. Somebody at an event, I think yesterday or the day before, got up and gave a viciously anti-Israeli comment. And Kamala Harris said, I'm so glad you had the courage to tell the truth. It's sort of an endorsement of anti-Semitism by the vice president of the United States. The really hard left in the Democratic caucus is deeply anti-Israeli. And there was a very good article, which I tweeted out, by Cliff May of the Center for the Foundation of Democracy, who wrote that these are people who want to see Jews killed. When you back Hamas, you're backing an organization which has said publicly, its leaders have said publicly, not a single Jew will remain. So if you are pro-Hamas, you are in essence for cleansing all the Jews out of Israel. And there are a significant number of left-wing Democrats who are now that anti-Semitic and that anti-Israeli.
All righty. And Isabella from Kansas asks, what can we expect from the outcome of the congressional investigations on Afghanistan?
I don't know yet. I talked today to the chief of staff, to Senator Inhofe, who is a ranking Republican and has been chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He thinks now that they're through the hearings with the top military people, he thinks they're going to go back and really take apart what happened in Afghanistan. It was a totally avoidable disaster. It leaves us substantially weaker in the region. It gives the Chinese a chance to become substantially stronger. I think it requires really seriously looking at the American national security system. And I think it has implications for places like Taiwan and Japan and Korea that we have to look at really seriously, because I think there's a grave danger that some of our enemies will decide that this is proof that Biden will always cave. And if that happens, we're going to be in a very dangerous world.
Cindy from Hawaii says, here in the blue state of Hawaii, the government states that people 65 and older who get COVID will not get medical attention if the hospitals are full. What can we do?
Well, this is an example of why having big, heavy-handed government like the Hawaiian state government, which is a great example of big government socialism, is really dangerous. It's exactly what happened in northern Italy, because when you get too much government influence on hospitals, politicians undercapitalize them. They don't have any kind of reserve for emergency situations, and they save money by basically trying to run a really, really lean operation with no margin for error. I think that it is terrible that you have these kind of things. I mean, look at New York and New Jersey, where you had a very similar kind of approach that was a total disaster and that killed thousands and thousands of senior citizens. And I think it is disgraceful for one of our states to admit that it can't take care of its own people. So, you know, I realize that the Democrats are overwhelmingly dominant and that the maritime unions basically control Hawaii. But I think that it's really important to recognize that there are a number of these blue states that are behaving shamefully and that are putting lives at risk in a way that I think is just totally un-American.
Mark says, as one of your rare Democratic listeners, why don't Republicans focus more on pointing out that Democratic leaders with a $3.5 trillion bill are trying to satisfy the far progressive left that voters rejected decisively and are ignoring everybody else who are not Democrats, who accounted for tens of millions of votes?
Look, I try to do my part to get across that these are big government socialist bills, that they are really totally against the American tradition, and that it is remarkable what we're seeing happen. I couldn't agree more with the point that was made. And I think that based on our polling that we've done for the American Majority Project, only 16% of the country favors big government socialism, which is one out of every six Americans. And that's why I think the Democrats are really on a path to a totally disastrous 2022 election, because they are increasingly isolated from most Americans, and they are doing more and more outrageous things. And now their system is just plain beginning to break down. And if that continues, I suspect by next year that the Democrats will be in enormous trouble and that the country will shift a great deal towards the Republicans.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Good afternoon, Newt. This is John and Sherry from Holly Springs, North Carolina. My question was, is there among the Democrat donor class, or is there a Democrat shadow government that would be at the point of panic where they might push Biden to resign, accept Harris for now as president, and then appoint and confirm someone as vice president that might be more palatable to the public at large and be more electable?
Well, look, I think as a theoretical possibility, that's a great question and would be a good novel. The challenge you have, first of all, is it takes a two-thirds vote. So you have to have 67 senators, for example, who vote to implement the 25th Amendment, because I don't think you're going to get Biden ever to voluntarily step down. And I don't think his wife, Jill, would allow him to voluntarily step down. The second is that I think somebody said to me, appointing Kamala Harris to be the vice president was the greatest insurance policy against ever using the 25th Amendment that you could have, because she is so unpopular and she's so strange that I think that there just would not be a majority in either the House or the Senate that would accept her as president of the United States. I think almost everybody agrees that she was a mistake and that Biden is healthy enough to run for re-election, that he almost certainly will get a new vice president because she is a very large net negative for him. So it could theoretically happen. The challenge you'd have, if you want to write it as a novel, is the most likely person to replace Harris in a situation where the 25th Amendment occurred is Nancy Pelosi. I somehow don't think that would be an improvement from our standpoint.
Linda from Albany, Oregon. I heard the reports last week, Friday, I believe it was, the Arizona audit. And it was full of incidents or facts on fraudulent activity. So I'm wondering, what is the next step toward decertification?
First of all, it's a great question, and it's a sign you're really paying attention. I don't think decertification will occur. It's never occurred at this stage. You have a president, you can like him or dislike him. You can feel that it was a fraudulent election. And I certainly think that the total process of the fall campaign was the most rigged election in American history. But I think that right now the fact is we should focus on winning in 22, and then we should focus on winning a crushing, overwhelming victory in 24. And it's important, I think, to have these audits because it's teaching us a lot about how sick the system was. But I don't think that you're going to get the number of decisive, clear answers that would in any way allow for decertification.
Thank you for taking my question, Mr. Gingrich. I appreciate all of your podcasts. The question I have is very short. With all of these COVID mandates that have been coming down the pike, what can we, the people, do to fight back against them?
Well, I think you can, one, depending how strongly you feel, you can simply organize with your neighbors and ignore them. I can't express strongly enough how amazingly destructive the new governor of New York deciding that firing hundreds and hundreds of nurses somehow improves public health. This is just madness. And I think it's because left-wingers don't have any sense of reality. I think they live in a fantasy world. I've always said, for example, that they watched The Lion King and thought it was a documentary. And they think that lions and zebras dance and sing and hang out together. And that's how they deal with dangerous criminals. It's how they deal with terrorists. Well, the same thing here. They adopt some kind of policy without ever thinking it through, without ever asking in the real world, what does it mean? I think at some point you're going to see significant mass disobedience. And you've had sheriffs, for example, say, I won't arrest people on these kind of charges. I just won't do it. And I just think that this is a classic example of why big government socialism is dangerous, because you have the politicians making rules they don't understand and imposing them by sheer force, even when the very people who they're supposed to represent deeply dislike it.
Hello, this is Thomas, and I'm from Malvern, Pennsylvania, Western Philadelphia suburbs. My question is, I'm listening carefully to what Nancy Pelosi is saying. Am I correct in my understanding that Nancy Pelosi is not trying to raise the debt ceiling, but instead is trying to remove the debt ceiling entirely, i.e., enabling Democrats to spend into unlimited debt?
Well, that's a great question. It's a shrewd observation on your part. Left-wingers have always wanted to eliminate the debt ceiling because the original purpose of the debt ceiling was to put controls on and to slow down the growth of the debt. Well, they want to be able to spend like crazy. Ronald Reagan once said that he would say they spend like drunken sailors, but that would be an insult to sailors because they actually spend much worse than drunken sailors. There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, how they could even begin to think about a $3.5 trillion spending bill on top of a $1.2 trillion spending bill on top of all the spending bills of the last year and a half. This is crazy historically. And so they would love to find a way to eliminate the debt ceiling because every time it comes up, it's hard to pass no matter which party's in charge. People don't like to do it. And yet at the same time, I say with some pride, with the exception of the 4 years where I was speaker and we balanced the federal budget, the only 4 year period in your lifetime that we balanced the federal budget, we actually were paying down the federal debt at that point. We could have lowered the debt ceiling because we were paying off the debt so rapidly. I think from a conservative standpoint, That's the future we want. Reform the government, modernize the bureaucracy, dramatically reduce spending, go back to the work ethic, and really have dramatic economic growth while controlling spending. And let's get back to a balanced budget, and let's pay down the debt rather than raise the ceiling.
Yes, this is Andrew Anello calling from Norwalk, Connecticut. Newt, I want to thank you again for inspiring me to run for office. And one of our calls after the last election, a caller said, you know, we feel a little helpless. What can we do? You said, well, you can participate. Well, I've participated because I reached the point where screaming at the walls in the dark has its limits. It's been a very positive experience. I've met hundreds of people going door to door, which is how most of the local elections are done. And in the process, I haven't had a single person mention that they want critical race theory, wokeness, cancel culture, unlimited free services, or any of these far left things. And it's 2-1 Democrats to Republicans in Norwalk in terms of registered voters. So if these progressive ideas aren't coming from the voters, where are they originating from and for what purpose?
It's a great point, a wonderful question, and certainly fits my own experiences. I think they originate on the college campuses. They are carried by left-wing activist groups. They're funded by left-wing billionaires. And they create, as I said earlier, in the poll that we did as part of the American Majority Project, we ended up discovering that only 16% of the country favors big government socialism. So that means one out of every six Americans favors the massive Bernie Sanders bill. And that gives you a flavor. I think you'd find the same thing. Very strong support at Yale University. No support the minute you get off the Yale campus. But the connections of the news media, the bureaucracy, left-wing activist groups, people like George Soros and Mike Bloomberg, those come together and they form sort of a level of energy on the left, which has really moved the country dramatically further than the American people wanted to go. And that's why I think that 22 and 24 are going to be remarkably good elections for Republicans and remarkably bad elections for left-wing Democrats.
I'm Gene Zellmer, and I'm from Carmel, California. My question is, could providing proven steps to achieve the American dream, which means lifting people out of poverty, win elections and steal votes previously cast for liberal handouts?
I think so. I think in the 90s, when we campaigned on the Contract with America, for example, we passed welfare reform, which was the most conservative social reform in your lifetime. And it was wildly popular. Even people who were on food stamps living in public housing, they much preferred having a job. And so I think you can rebuild a belief in the American ethic of dreaming big, working hard, getting a job, being frugal, saving up money to buy a house. I don't think those things are impossible, but I think that it does require that you have to have gutsy politicians willing to go out and win the argument. As Margaret Thatcher used to say, first you win the argument, then you win the vote. But I think the underlying belief of the American people, and I know this because we're right now in the middle of doing a whole series of focus groups as part of the American Majority Project. And people believe in work. And they believe that one of the great problems we have is that people aren't encouraged enough to go to work. And so I think that could be a very popular campaign theme.
Hi, Patrick Brown and Amy LaCivita in Fairfax, Virginia. We were wondering if the GOP's debt ceiling strategy is working. Thank you.
Well, I think it's working in the sense that the Democrats started a month ago thinking they could pile all sorts of junk on the debt ceiling and force it through and that people have to vote for it. And to his credit, Mitch McConnell said no. And it took him about 3 weeks to figure out he really meant no. And I think now they'll pass a clean debt ceiling with nothing added to it, because I don't think Republicans will vote for anything that's added to it. They should be able to get it through next week. Similarly, today, they were passing a clean continuing resolution with all the left-wing stuff taken out of it, because it's the only way they could get it through. So I think sometimes, you know, I would do more of it if the Republicans followed the strategy we used in the 90s to create the environment for the Contract with America. But I do think that in the last couple of weeks, the Republicans have been better organized, more coherent, and fought better than they have for a long time. So let me just encourage all of you, tell your friends about the whole concept of the inner circle. And I really find it helpful, and I find the questions really helpful. They get me thinking about a variety of things. I hope if you have not signed up for the 3 newsletters a week or the 3 free podcasts, just go to Gingrich360.com and sign up. And I really try to lay out there what I think is going on. My next one For example, tomorrow will be a newsletter about the Virginia governor's race and the impact of Terry McAuliffe saying that parents had no role in schools. So I think you'll find it interesting, but these are always helpful, and I really appreciate you calling in and being part of it, and I look forward to doing it again in the near future. Thank you for listening, and thank you to members of my Inner Circle Club. And if you'd like to become a member, please go to newtsinnercircle.com and sign up for a 1 or 2 year membership today. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Pendley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.